So this is a lective with speaking about multiplication. It was some years ago, I was in a prayer meeting and one of our staff members, she was praying so passionately. She says, God, we don't pray for 1 + 1. We pray for 1 × 1. And right there, I had to stop her because if you haven't realized, 1 × 1 is less than 1 + 1. And we want increase, not decrease in Jesus' name. And, you know, principle of multiplication is a biblical principle. You know, it's within our creational DNA. In fact, God said, go forth and multiply. And a lot of us haven't realized what it means to actually multiply. We know in the natural with kids how that process works, but we don't understand it in the spirit. And it's so important that when it comes to our life, we have a multiplication mindset. And today, I really believe God wants to overwhelm people. And He wants to overwhelm you in the first instance with the need that's around you. There's a story that Jesus did in the New Testament. It's the feeding of the 5,000. It's one of the only miracles that's recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, all recorded. It's like, hey, we all want in on this. We've got a perspective that we need to share. So that story is really important in the context of the context of how the kingdom actually operates. In fact, Jesus would refer to it at a later point. You can read in Mark chapter 6, but in Mark chapter 8, Jesus would rebuke the disciples and he said, are your hearts so hard that you didn't learn from what I did back then? How many know we all can experience a miracle in our life? God can do something amazing in our life, but we can miss the nutrients of that miracle. It's like the food just passes through our body. It goes in and out, but we don't receive the nourishment that we need. And it's so important when God does a work in our life, we allow that miracle to change how we think and how we operate. Are you hearing me right now? Now, God wants to overwhelm us, and the way He wants to overwhelm us is by the need that's right around us. How many know our nation has big needs right now, huge problems, and it's often to look at the need and go, what the heck can I do? You know, how can I make a difference? You know, what? I haven't got much in my hand. It's like when you spill sugar in the cupboard. You ever done that before? That's a mission to clean up. It's like, to really clean up, you've got to take everything out of that cupboard. You've got to take it out. Then you've got to wipe it down, and then you've got to put everything back in. Sometimes it's easier just to close the door and leave it for somebody else. Come on, how many ever arrived at your cupboard and found that there's rice and sugar all around it? I remember one time I was on a long-haul flight, and I just had a meal. I woke up from the meal, and I wanted to throw up. And thank goodness there was no queue at the bathroom, because normally there's a queue, because I just made it to the bathroom door, opened the door, and threw up all over that cubicle. All over that cubicle. How many know right there was a temptation just to shut the door and walk away and leave it to somebody else? You know, but that's how a lot of us respond when it comes to the need around us. We go, oh, well, what can I do? What can I? Man, that's just too big a job. Right. And what we do is we just shut the door, we walk away and leave it to somebody else. God wants to overwhelm you with the need that's in front of you right now. It's immense. It's huge. It's big. It's a big job to do. But secondly, He wants to overwhelm you with His capacity to meet that need with what's in your hand. And that's the principle that was being outworked in the feeding of the 5,000. You know, so many of us, you know, want to see breakthrough and we think, well, we just need to work harder. We need to work harder, and we work hard and we get little results. And then we think, oh, we need to work smarter. We read a few self-help books and we think that's the key, you know, not harder, smarter. And when we just get incremental results, but we're not really further on, we get a little bit disillusioned and we beat ourselves up and think we just need to be better. So we work harder, we work smarter, and we think, man, I just need to do it more excellently. I need to be better at it. But could it be the problem is we're trying to fix something in a broken system? The whole system, the way that we view things, is wrong. I like what Henry Ford said. If I gave people what they wanted, I would have given them faster horses. Yeah, but I want to say God wants to update our mode of transport. How many know a car is better than a fast horse? But some of us, I've always ridden a horse, and we're just trying to beat this horse. But in some places, the horse is dead. And here's the deal. If your horse is dead, dismount. Dismount. You know, some of us, the ways in which we're doing things is dead. And that's why Jesus would come along. You know, Jesus didn't come to warm people's hearts as much as shatter their categories. To adjust the way that they thought about things. That's why he said, you've heard it said. This is how you think about it. You've heard it said. This is the way that you do it. You've heard it said, but I say to you. And so what was he doing? He was trying to change their paradigm in the way that they operate. Could it be in a lot of places we're not seeing multiplication because we're looking at things through a wrong paradigm? I love sport. I follow a lot of sport. And in sport, there's people who change the way the game is played. The Michael Jordans of this world. If you follow cricket, not many people do, but if you follow cricket, in Tauranga, there's more than most. But cricket, a high score in a one-day match used to be 250. If you got to 250, that was a pass score. But today, you know, teams are getting 400. Same amount of overs, but just a different paradigm. Different paradigm, a different way. And people have come along and changed the game. I wonder whether this is a game-changing church. Some of us have just said, oh, well, that's what church is and that's what you experience. But I believe God is looking for people who will change the way that church functions and sees different results. Yeah, I'm thankful for the amount of people we're getting saved on a Sunday. You know, on any given Sunday, just in our Auckland locations, we can see up to 30 to 40 people saved. But that's just a drop in the ocean compared to the need that's out there. And we've got to look at things differently. Some of us were on a horse, and it's like God saying, I've got a car for you. But some of God's purposes are calling us overseas, and some of us are in a car, and we need an airplane. We need to upgrade our mode of transportation. Come on, how many want to upgrade in Jesus' name? Some of you are trying to get too much mileage out of one tank of gas. And God's going, hey, I've got a different mode of transport. I've got a different mode of transport for you to go into. Here's some thoughts, just quickly, if we're to change the game. Four areas, if we're to change the game, and we're going to unpack the story of the five loaves and the two fish. You with me? I know you're thinking about lunch right now, but this is really important. This could be game-changing for your world. If you're a business person, you know, whatever area of ministry you're involved in, during your week, I believe this thinking could actually help in many different spheres. If we're to change the game, number one is we need to draw a bigger circle. We need to draw a bigger circle. If you understand the context of the miracle, the disciples have been so busy that they hadn't had a chance to eat. That's busy, because most of us prioritize food. But they've been so busy, I've got an amen over there. They've been so busy that they hadn't had a chance to eat. They get in a boat and they go to the other side to get some alone time with Jesus, only to find when they get to the other side, there's a whole crowd. And the Bible says Jesus has compassion on the crowd. He starts teaching them. But it's getting late in the day. And as it's getting late in the day, the disciples' stomachs are rumbling. And they say to Jesus, hey, time out, Jesus. We need to stop because we need to send the people away because they are hungry. Who are the hungry ones? Who are the ones who have been so busy that they hadn't had a chance to eat? It was the disciples. Now, have we got any parents here? Any parents here? I want you to be really honest. How many parents have ever blamed their children for something that they're feeling? It's like, oh, the children are real tired and grumpy. I need to take them home. But you really, you're the one who's tired and grumpy? Come on, you know what I'm talking about there? It's like, oh, the children are really hungry. You know, it wasn't about the crowd's hunger. It was about the disciples' hunger. And what were they about to do? They were about to send away a miracle. Could it be in our world we're sending away miracles because our life's focused on our own need? We need to draw a big enough circle that it includes the multitudes. You know, so many churches are led by just who's attending on a Sunday. But I feel like churches have got a responsibility not just to who shows up, but also to those who don't show up. How big is the circle? Biggest circle, what circle are you reaching? Some people's lives aren't even a circle. It's just the outline of their own body. In places, where do you find those? You find those at crash scenes, which normally means you're dead. Do you know there's a lot of dead Christians out there right now because their life's all about them? Do you know the fact that you're sitting here today is because somebody drew a big enough circle that it included you? Come on, who's in your circle right now? You know, how big is your circle? Because the answer to your breakthrough is not scaling back. The answer to your breakthrough is actually drawing a bigger circle. I say to our church, I don't want to do hard. I don't want to do hard. Life can be hard. God hasn't called us to do hard. He's called us to do the impossible. And some of us are just doing hard. Let's do the impossible. Come on, let's operate outside of what's known. Come on, some of our lives are too boring. If there was a movie about your life, nobody would buy tickets. The reason why you tune into a movie is because you don't know how it's going to finish. If you know how it's going to finish, you tune out. You go, oh, I already know the plot. I already know how it's going to work out. And some of us, it's like, it's all worked out. Yeah, it's all worked out. But you know, a movie you tune into is one where, oh, man, I didn't see that happening. I didn't see that coming. You know, we've got to carry a big enough dream in our heart that other people are inspired by it, that it testifies that God is surely at work. Because I know they aren't that smart. They aren't that good. Come on, draw a bigger circle. Turn to your neighbor and say, draw a bigger circle. Your life can't be all about your need. Get this. There's a generation who died in the wilderness having all their needs met. They had all their needs met. But they died in the wilderness. God's got a promised land for us to possess and go after. Second thing, if we're to see the game change, we need to see, number two, we need to see inconveniences as opportunities. What happens when you get to the other side and you're surrounded by needs that you didn't anticipate on? Do you see them as obligations or do you see them as opportunities? How often do we send away a miracle because, that's just too inconvenient. I found following Jesus is not convenient. There's never a convenient time to follow Jesus. And in every inconvenience, there's an opportunity. We own our own building in Auckland City. We went into lockdown with 4 locations. We came out with 7. Because the church is always advancing. The word of God cannot be chained. It's like God, oh, dang, there's a pandemic. What am I going to do? The kingdom is always advancing, always advancing. We just need to cooperate with heaven. And in every inconvenience, there's an opportunity. But we own our own building. We grew out of that space. We started hiring the town hall and the Aotea Center. You know, it's amazing that our church, you know, has not just survived, but really moved forward in times, because we are in 28 different venues in 30 weeks. The only way that people knew where church was they get a text on a Saturday. Some people we didn't send that text to. No, just but it's amazing. Now, we went from owning, having everything set up, to having all our gear and big trucks, you know, LED screens, you know, used to hang speakers and everything like that, and we'll have them all in trucks. Now that's inconvenience, because our guys would have to get up at 5 o'clock in the morning, and often they wouldn't get home to 10:30 at night. But how many know nobody minds washing the nets if there's fish? Yeah, that's right. Washing the nets becomes a pain. Cleaning the boat becomes a pain when you caught nothing. But when you caught fish, there's no problem washing the nets. And because we're catching fish, you know, there was no shortage of volunteers. And Psalm 110, verse 3, there's many volunteers in the day of his power. But what I didn't foresee at the time, see, embracing the inconvenience over here actually led to an opportunity over here. We run this thing called Revolution Tour. And in our nation, we're in over 250 high schools. Revolution Tour, you know, is a tour where we go and speak about anti-bullying. We invite through relationship people to a concert, to a rally where people have an opportunity to respond to Jesus. You know, there's years where in a two-week period where we're seeing 4,000 people saved. But we could run that simply because all our gear was in a truck. And so we could hire a venue in Dunedin and we had all the gear for it because that truck could just travel around this nation. But we had to embrace the inconvenience over here, and the inconvenience over here led to the opportunity over here. Yeah, I've seen that time and time again. How often are we sending away a miracle because it's packaged like inconvenience? It's packaged, but within every inconvenience, there's an opportunity if you respond to it rightly, if you look at it right. Are you hearing me right now? Okay, how many want to change the game? If you want to change the game, draw a bigger circle. See inconveniences as opportunities. Number three is you need to release control. I want to speak to all the control freaks in the room. Some of you are looking relaxed on the inside, but on the inside, you're a control freak. You know, before you take a step, you have to have it all figured out. But when you've got it all figured out, you've factored God out. Yeah, you know, again, Abraham, I said this last night, he left. He's the father of faith. Father Abraham, many sons said, I am one of them. Yeah, oh man, we've got some people who have been around a long time. Yeah, you know, Father Abraham, he left not knowing where he was going. He left. God said, go and I'll show. But many go, I need to know the details first. I love Jesus. He turned to the disciples and said, you give them something to eat. And they're trying to work out, how the heck are we going to do that? If we're going to do that, that's going to cost more than a year's wages. Well, we can't do that. There's no way that we can do that. And that's what we do in our mind. God gives us an instruction, but he doesn't give us any details. How many know God's frustrating sometimes? Is God, give me a little bit more detail to that. Here's the thing. Faith doesn't remove ambiguity. It calls us to live in it. Faith doesn't remove ambiguity. It calls us to live in that space. Where God, I'm trusting in you. I don't know how this is going to work. I don't know how you're going to bring it about. But I'm trusting in you. You've spoken it. Abraham. That's Abraham. God said to him, can't. Look up, count the stars if you're able, so your descendants shall be. And the Bible says, he believed, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. He believed. It was a crazy, crazy dream. Yeah, that'd be like you and I going into a retirement village, finding an old couple, and say, hey, God's told me that you're going to have a whole lot of babies. I mean, no, you're going to get a slap around the head. But the Bible says Abraham believed this crazy, outlandish, wild dream. He believed and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Come on, that control freak on the inside, that little mini me on the inside. Come on, some of you are relaxed on the outside, but all you are tense on the inside. It's like, see, here's the deal. We want to be in control. But what I've found is when we're in control, guess what? God's not. And we need to release control. God, I don't understand. I don't understand, but I'm gonna believe. See, many people go, well, once I understand, then I'll have faith. It doesn't work like that. Hebrews says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. By faith we understand. By faith we understand. We don't understand and then have faith. It's by faith. By faith, we understand. Come on, some of us right now is like we're trying to work it all out. We're trying to work, how's it going to happen? You know, we would never see churches planted in many different nations if we had it all figured out. During the pandemic, we planted a church in Fiji. Just on Friday night, it's reaching over 100 people, 100 young people already. You know, just during that time. But we didn't have it figured out. We felt God had led us there. Who would have thought we'd have a church in Budapest? Yeah, I'd never been to Budapest before. You know, some people don't even know what country Budapest is in. Just check if your neighbor knows their geography. It's in the nation of Hungary. Yeah. Hungary's just not a condition you're in right now. It's actually a country. It's a country. But Budapest, it's like, it's hey, as we get going, God's going to show. He's going to open up. But we need to release control. Come on, release control. Do I get an amen to that? Okay, number four. Okay, we need to put ministry in the hand of every believer. Just quickly, I'm not going to go too much into this, but the miracle took place in the hands of the disciples. Jesus gave thanks for the five loaves and the two fish. He blessed it and it multiplied, but it multiplied in the hands of of the disciples. The miracle that's going to take place in the next season is not going to come from stages. It's going to come from ordinary, everyday people. I'm proof that God wants to use an everyday, ordinary person. If God can use me, He can use you, believe me. He can use you. And for too long, the church has been a front-wheel drive or a rear-wheel drive vehicle. If you know that, you know, a front-wheel drive is all where the power's in the front wheels, and it just drags the back wheels along. A rear-wheel drive vehicle is where the power's in the back wheels, and it pushes. And the church is all about being pushing and pulling and pushing and pulling. There was a something can Dr. Doolittle push me, pull you. Yeah, do you know why we do little? It's because it's all about push and pull. Come on, if we navigate this next season, we need power in every wheel. We need an all-wheel driving machine. If you're going to handle the terrain that's in front of you, if you're going to navigate that, it's really important that we have power. The power of God is in the hands of every believer. Do I get an amen to that? Okay. Number, that was a short one. I didn't expect to include that one. Okay, number five. Number five is we've got to learn the mathematics of heaven. We've got to learn the mathematics of heaven. You suck at math and you don't even know. So encouraging. Yeah, the church in a lot of places has been good at addition during COVID, and in a lot of places we're known subtraction. We've definitely known division. Again, the church's greatest enemy right now is division. The enemy wants to do everything he can to separate people. It's like outside of willful sin, the main weapon the devil has is to sow discord. Don't be an instrument of the enemy. Yeah, we have our difference. We have our different political views, but don't be an instrument of the enemy. Yeah, we've got to really protect the unity of the faith. Church in many places hasn't learned about multiplication. Multiplication. A lot of people can speak the language of the Bible. What amazes me in Europe is many people speak multiple languages. For instance, our Swiss pastor in Zurich, when I first met him as an 18-year-old, he didn't speak English. He used to just smile at me and nod, but he didn't really understand what I was saying. He did an internship in our London church. He now speaks English, but his first language is Swiss German. His second language, I think, might be Italian, and English now is his third language, so he speaks three different languages. He married a Romanian. Her first language is Romanian. Her second language is English. And so they speak to one another in their second and third languages. And you thought marriage was difficult. Sometimes I go, you can't say that, but they've got their own understanding. It's like, how can you say that to one another? And I get amazed by that. But then our German pastor, he's German, and so which is amazing. He married a Danish woman, but he can preach in three different languages. So not just speak, but preach in three different languages. That's a big deal because, you know, some of us learnt another language at school. We go to the other country and we just know enough words to get by. How to say thank you, where's the bathroom, and different things. But we don't really speak the language. We don't speak the language. We just know a few words. Some of us, you know, we're a little bit more fluent. We go into a country and we can speak the language, but what we're doing is we're translating in our mind. We're translating. So we're speaking it, but we're still thinking in our mother tongue. We're translating it. What happens when you preach is you don't have time to think. You don't have time to translate. You've got to think in the language that you're speaking. Do you know a problem in the church, why we don't see many miracles and miracles of multiplication, is because we're speaking the language, but we're still thinking in our mother tongue. We're still thinking according to the ways of the world, and we're just translating and we're speaking Christianese. But it has no power and no authority. Where you see, where you grow in your authority is when you think and speak in the language of the kingdom. Right. I like what Bill Johnson said. He said, how do you know whether your mind's been renewed? How do you know whether your mind's been renewed? Renewed. How do you know whether it's been renewed? It's when the impossible becomes logical. It's when the impossible becomes logical. Get this. We suck at math, we know it because, okay, where did the 5 loaves and the 2 fish come from? Came from a little boy, which is a big lunch for a little boy. I only got 2 sandwiches growing up. 5 loaves and 2 fish. But that was not enough to feed a multitude. 5 loaves and 2 fish came from a little boy. How many people were fed? 5,000. 5,000 men were fed. Men were fed. Commentators would say 15 to 20,000 people were fed, including children and women. Children. How many men were fed? 5,000. And the Bible names it. Where did the miracle come from? It came from a little boy. How many men were fed? Get this. The miracle actually came from a source that they didn't even count. It came from a source that they overlooked. It came from a little boy. Could it be in this next season, the miracle that God wants to do in your life is going to come from a source that you've overlooked and you've discounted? The miracle was in the hands of the little boy. Jesus took what he had. He gave thanks for it and blessed it, and it multiplied. You have what you need right now. It's in your hands. God wants to overwhelm you with the need that's in front of you. Some of you right now, you know that feeling. You're overwhelmed by that need. Some of us have numbed ourselves to that need. Didn't, you know, those things, when they're presented, don't do what they used to do in our heart. You used to be captivated by it, but it doesn't do that. God wants to overwhelm you with the need that's in front of you, but he also wants to overwhelm you with his capacity to meet that need with what's in your hand. You have what you need. It's in your hand. You just got to look at it right. Let's not see God do miracles in our life without it changing our thinking. Let's not go around the mountain. See, the Israelites in the wilderness, they were focused on the works of God, but they didn't know the ways of God. And Moses had to say in Exodus 33, God, show me your ways that I might know you. The way you know God is you know his ways. Too many people get fixated on the works of God that they don't know his ways. You can experience miracles like that they did in the wilderness. Man, amazing miracles. Parting of the Red Sea before they got there. The provision of food, you know, a whole lot of things. They experienced works, the works of God, but they didn't know the ways of God, and that's why they died in the wilderness. It's the ways of God that actually open our understanding to the way that the kingdom works. Come on, go forth and multiply. Go forth and multiply. Some of you have been working hard. You're thinking, I need to work smarter. Some of you are beating yourself up. Could it be you're just looking at it wrong? And you need to change your paradigm. Change the way that you view things. You've heard it said, but it's like God saying, but now I say to you, draw a bigger circle. See inconveniences as opportunities. Release control, put ministry in the hand of every believer, and learn the mathematics of heaven in Jesus' name. Amen. Receive that. How about standing to your feet? Standing to your feet. Because it is lunchtime, and I'm hungry. But I won't focus on my knee right now. Come on. I pray you're being fed by that. How about just lifting your hands to God? Because I want to say you are enough. You have enough. Come on, right now, for breakthrough, for everything you need in this next season, you just got to look at it correctly. Maybe you just want to take your hands and put them on your eyes, because, you know, some of us, we've limited God. because we're seeing things according to old ways and what we've known. But God wants to lead us into a new experience of Him. And that new experience is going to bring breakthrough. Go, Holy Spirit, I pray that you'd help us all to see. Jesus, you said you came to give sight to the blind and to tell those who think they can see they're blind. Lord, we realize none of us can see without you. I pray you'd remove the veil and you'd help us have a greater revelation, not just of who you are, but how you want to work in and through our life. Lord, we repent where we've limited you. We change our mind. And today I pray, Lord, each and every one of us would step in to a place where we'd see what you've done in our lives multiplied in the hearts and lives of others. Lord, we pray for multiplication. We pray for acceleration in Jesus' name. Acceleration in the Spirit. Lord, we pray for that. We're believing for that. Lord, I pray for a multiplication in businesses. Lord, a multiplication of miracles. Lord, a multiplication, Lord, in many different places. Lord, we thank you. Your church is unstoppable. It's unstoppable. Lord, we thank you, God, that your church can't be ignored. Lord, and I thank you what you're building in this place and what you're doing in people's lives is going to resound in eternity. It's going to have a huge impact. And we thank you for your grace in Jesus' name.